Luke chapter 13. We'll pick up with the second parable that starts in verse 20. Luke 13, 20. And again, Jesus said, "To what shall I liken the kingdom of God?" So both of these are his explanations of what God's kingdom is like. First was a mustard seed growing from very small to very big. And now, instead of exactly that, this is going to be the infiltration method or representation of how God's kingdom will infiltrate the world, basically, is what he's describing here. So verse 21, "It is like leaven," what we would call yeast today, "which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until it was all leavened." So Kaufman wrote a little introduction to this first before he went with the analogies. And he said, "Despite the fact that leaven often is used of something evil, such as the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, the declaration is that the kingdom of God is like leaven, and that forces the conclusion that it stands for the opposite of evil in this passage." And we've gone over this in the past, and in fact, it's been over the last few chapters that Jesus was comparing the kingdom of God to leaven. And I believe that was the first time that Jesus used leaven in a positive sense. All the other times it was in a negative sense. I'm pretty confident that in Matthew and Mark it was always used as negative. And I think the most well-known passage was when Jesus had just gone... Matthew chapter 13. He'd gone into this... pretty fierce confrontation with these Pharisees. And he leaves, and so he can, he goes across the Sea of Galilee to get away from them. And he tells the apostles, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." And what Kaufman's thought, what he was confident that the leaven of the Pharisees was, and we've covered this all in the past, was that these Pharisees were wanting to convince the Israelites that Jesus was not the Messiah. And that was the poisonous leaven that was infiltrating among the congregation, among the multitudes. And that was the poison, this leaven. And obviously, it was working. And because the people were turning against Jesus at this time, and it was infiltrating through them. So that was, and what he was doing, he was warning the apostles, "Don't let this false teaching also falsely persuade you to where you're thinking that I am not the Messiah." So, now, this is completely the opposite of that. It's not, this leaven is not a negative sense as far as how a false teaching is infiltrating through people to, and then everyone comes up with that false teaching mindset. This is the opposite. This is how that the gospel message that is being spread at this time with Jesus and would later by the apostles and other evangelists, and how they would spread, and the gospel message of Christ would then spread like leaven. So then he completes this preliminary passage with, "This and the parable of the mustard seed are in fact twin parables, setting forth different characteristics of the kingdom of God. The mustard seed, which produced the great plant, teaches the ultimate mighty extent and power of the kingdom, as it would appear visibly to all mankind. The parable of the leaven, however, stresses the invisible power that is hidden from all human observation, but producing such marvelous results. It also indicates the transforming effect of the kingdom, tending to assimilate into itself all who receive its influence. Okay, the analogies of the parable of the leaven. The leaven is the teaching of Christ. The meal is the people who receive the truth. The quality of leaven that changes the whole mass into one kind is the transforming power of the gospel. The leaven rising silently is the nature of the kingdom's growth. And a little leaven given time can change a great mass is the vast power of the gospel message of salvation. And the woman who took the leaven is the kingdom message being taught to others. And then this three measures, and he explains, he goes further into this another paragraph or so, about what this three measures of meal he feels like means. And he said that he changed his view on this different from what when he wrote his Matthew commentary to what it is today. And he said that's because of more mature study. And so now he believed when he wrote Luke that these three measures were the three divisions of humanity from Ham, Shem, and Japheth. So that this leaven would permeate through these three measures of meal being the three divisions of mankind after the flood. So Noah's children, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, everyone descended from those three men, and that is what these three measures of meal represents. Okay, and he goes on further to explain this, and he quotes four commentators in this. So the three measures of meal are usually understood by commenters as an inert factor in the parable. So he's saying that most of these commentators don't think that the three measures mean anything. Kaufman had a different thought than that. He said Bowles, for example, affirming that three measures of meal was the amount used for one meal. However, Summers, and this was Ray Summers, and I think that he taught out in Lubbock at the Sunset School of Preaching, I think. And Summers calculated the amount of meal in the three measures as 4 1/2 pecks, which goes beyond any ordinary meal. Likewise, this other commentator, Tinsley, made the three measures to be 0.5 hundredweight of flour, so a 50-pound sack of flour. Thus, it is clear that the three measures must be understood as something significant. So each of the, what he's saying is each of these three commentators, they gave a definite amount of what this was, but then they said that it's meaningless. It doesn't mean anything in this parable. But he said, well, if it has a definite amount, then he thinks that it had a definite meaning. And thus it is clear that the three measures must be understood as something significant. In the analogy above, the flour is seen as representing humanity. And since there is a threefold division of humanity in the three sons of Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, it appears quite logical to see the three measures as the threefold posterity of Noah. This fourth commentator, Trench, was favorable to this analogy, admitting that they do indeed answer to three elements of humanity. And then this Barclay gives an outline of the teaching of this parable by these four points. First, God's kingdom starts from the smallest beginnings, a tiny pinch of leaven. Number two, the power of the kingdom works unseen as leaven works unseen. And number three, the kingdom's power works from inside as leaven does. And four, the power to change humanity, being the lump, must come from outside itself, the leaven being a power not of the lump at all, but from out. So it's an addition. And God's kingdom was an addition, and the gospel message was an additional teaching that God sent and Jesus started propagating to the world. And it is not in man to transform himself. The leaven of God must do it from the outside. So it's the power of the gospel message of Christ. And he finishes up with this. In both of these remarkable parables, there is evidence the ultimate power and extent of Christ's kingdom. The teaching in both of them is stamped with an originality and power which only Christ could have imparted. As a fifth commentator, this major, said, there is a quality in this teaching which marks it as belonging to the Messiah, and it is above the level of his contemporaries and his reporters. So this parable, Christ has taken ownership ultimately, is what he's saying here. And Jesus' teaching is this leaven. And then ultimately, that's the contrast. Leaven, I guess it could be stated that leaven is a neutral product, and it could be used for good or for bad. And Jesus was warning his apostles not to be deceived by the false teaching of the leaven of the Pharisees to try to persuade them that he was not the Messiah, but instead turn this leaven into good and take the gospel teaching, the correct teaching message about God's kingdom, and spread it over the whole world. And that happened. And in fact, they did it in a all accounts, a very fast method. In the neighborhood of about 25 years, Paul tells us that the whole world has heard the message. They did not all believe the message, and so many rejected it, unfortunately, as they do today. But Paul said that they have all heard. And this is what is thought to be about 55 AD. So from 30 to 55, about 25 years. So that's how this leaven or the gospel message permeated through even the Gentiles, all three descendants of Noah, all over the whole world. So we will end there, and Lord willing, we will pick up with verse 22 next week.